Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. When Money Destroys Nations is a nonfiction book by Philip Haslam and Russell Lamberti that examines Zimbabwe's hyperinflation and uses it as a warning about monetary breakdown, fiscal excess, and political denial. The book is part economic history, part policy critique, and part account of ordinary survival under extreme instability. Rather than focusing only on macroeconomic theory, it shows how rapid money creation and collapsing confidence in currency affect daily life, from prices and wages to food access and informal exchange. Its central purpose is to explain how a country can move from functioning markets to monetary chaos when governments use the printing press to finance deficits and postpone reform. The book also broadens the Zimbabwe case into a wider caution about countries that rely on debt monetization and central bank intervention. Accessible to general readers, it is designed to help non-specialists understand both the mechanics and the human consequences of hyperinflation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Zimbabwe is a case study in the collapse of money and trust. The book's core narrative is the breakdown of the Zimbabwean dollar into a currency that no longer performed its basic functions. Haslam and Lamberti present hyperinflation not simply as high prices, but as the point at which money stops being a reliable store of value, unit of account, and medium of exchange. That distinction matters because it shifts the focus from symptoms to cause. Once public trust in money collapses, people stop holding local currency. Contracts become meaningless, and economic calculation breaks down. Zimbabwe is used as a concrete example of how a state can move from normal monetary life into disorder through prolonged money printing and policy distortion. The authors treat the episode as more than a local disaster because it illustrates the fragility of money itself when political institutions override discipline. This makes the Zimbabwe case the book's foundation, since every broader warning in the book is anchored in what actually happened there. Secondly, how money printing. Debt pressure and policy failure feed hyperinflation. A major theme of the book is the mechanism by which governments create hyperinflation through fiscal weakness and monetary expansion. The authors connect state debt, political pressure, and central bank subordination to the temptation to finance spending by creating new money. The result is not a gradual and harmless increase in liquidity, but an accelerating loss of confidence that pushes prices upward faster and faster. In this framework, hyperinflation is not a mysterious market accident. It is the predictable consequence of trying to solve insolvency with the printing press. The book emphasizes the role of expectations as well. Once citizens believe currency will keep losing value, they spend it quickly, abandon long-term contracts, and move toward foreign currency or barter. This mechanism is important because it shows why reforms become harder the longer a crisis lasts. The book therefore presents hyperinflation as a policy failure with reinforcing feedback loops, not just a temporary monetary disturbance. Thirdly, ordinary survival under collapse barter, foreign currency, and informal adaptation. Another important dimension of the book is its attention to how ordinary Zimbabweans adapted when official money ceased to function. Instead of treating hyperinflation as an abstract statistic, the authors focus on practical survival strategies, bartering goods, relying on food and fuel as exchange media, and using foreign currency where possible. This reveals an essential feature of severe inflation: people do not wait, act passively for the state to fix the problem, but rapidly develop parallel systems of exchange to keep life moving. Those adaptations are economically rational, but they also signal the breakdown of formal institutions. The book uses these accounts to show how daily commerce becomes fragmented, how wages lose meaning, and how households must constantly improvise. This survival angle gives the book much of its force, because it connects monetary collapse to human behavior under pressure. Readers see not only how hyperinflation is measured, but how it is lived, which makes the consequences more concrete and harder to dismiss. Fourthly, why the authors think Zimbabwe is a warning for developed countries too. The book does not present Zimbabwe as a one-off tragedy isolated from the wider world. Instead, it argues that the same incentives that produced Zimbabwe's collapse can appear in more advanced economies when governments accumulate large debts and central banks are used to. Support public finance. This is one of the book's most distinctive claims. Hyperinflation is not restricted to politically fragile states or poorer countries. By drawing parallels with modern debt-driven policies and post-crisis money creation, the authors invite readers to consider how monetary discipline can erode, even in countries with deeper institutions. The point is not that every country will become Zimbabwe, but that the underlying dynamics of fiscal dominance, political expediency, and currency debasement can travel. That comparative framework expands the book beyond case history into policy warning. It encourages readers to ask whether short-term stabilization measures may create longer-term monetary risks if they normalize the use of money creation as a solution to debt problems. Lastly, practical lessons protect assets, expect disruption, and rely on community the book closes with practical lessons rather than technical abstraction. One lesson is that hyperinflation can happen in places that seem stable, so individuals and families should understand warning signs rather than assume immunity. Another is that assets vulnerable to confiscation or rapid devaluation require protection through diversification and awareness of monetary risk. The third lesson is social rather than financial in crisis. Community relationships become a crucial source of resilience. This emphasis matters because it broadens the meaning of preparedness beyond investment strategy. The authors suggest that during a currency breakdown, access to trusted networks, local exchange, and mutual support may be as important as formal financial planning. These lessons are grounded in the Zimbabwe experience, where institutional failure forced people to depend on practical trust and improvised exchange. For readers, the value of this section is that it translates a historical monetary disaster into actionable insight without turning the book into a self-help manual. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want to understand hyperinflation through a real historical example rather than through formulas alone. Policymakers, economists, investors, students of monetary history, and general readers concerned about currency stability will all find it useful. Its main benefit is clarity. It explains how money printing, debt pressure, and declining trust interact until a currency ceases to function. It also helps readers recognize that hyperinflation is not only a technical economic event, but a social breakdown that reshapes daily life, trade, and community behavior. Compared with more theoretical books on inflation, this one stands out for its accessible narrative style and its focus on lived experience in Zimbabwe. Compared with memoir-style crisis accounts, it adds a broader policy warning by linking Zimbabwe to the risks faced by other countries that lean on monetary expansion. The result is a compact but serious warning about what happens when governments try to postpone hard reform by debasing money. It is especially valuable for readers who want both human context and economic insight in one account. If you would like to support Philip Haslam, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.